Turtle Flambeau Flowage, there's a piece of the Turtle Flambeau that is non-motorized.
Right, and that's what you get.
And you're not going to see a lot of buildings or a lot on it.
You know what's interesting is I go up to, the Boundary Waters area, not necessarily the Boundary Waters themselves, mm-hmm. and I'll paddle a lot in the Superior National Forest on some of the rivers there. And to be honest, I've seen more people in the Boundary Waters than out of it. And I think it's the old Yogi Berra thing. No one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. Mm-hmm. So people skip right past these beautiful places and head to the Boundary Waters where it may be a little busier.
Yeah. So there you go. Thanks, Tom, for calling. And, oh, by the way, do you want a ticket to Canucopia?
I think I'm signed up for them.
All right. All right. Good enough. Rob in Milwaukee. On to you now. Hi, Rob.
Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
I'm interested. My family has traditionally made a trip to the Wisconsin River to camp on the shoreline.
Yeah.
And we've done a pretty good portion of that river to date. And I'm interested to find out what other Wisconsin rivers offer the same shoreline camping opportunity that the Wisconsin River does.
Good question. The parts of the Black River you can do that on. They're a little bit bigger. Most of the smaller rivers around southern Wisconsin, southwestern Wisconsin, have campgrounds periodically, kind of like the Namekagon. And a designated campground isn't such a bad thing. But as far as sort of sandbar camping, you need to find a place like the Wisconsin. But I've done part of the Black and camped on sandbars. Technically, below the high water mark is safe for camping. There are some islands on the Wisconsin that are marked that are private islands that you shouldn't camp on.
Huh. There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Jeff in Stevens Point, we are on to you. Hi, Jeff.
Well, hello, Larry and Darren. I'm wondering if there's a chance to paddle any of the canoes before I would purchase one at Canucopia.
Yes and no. If you look outside, you'll notice it's not exactly paddling weather.
Yeah, outside won't work.
Yeah, but if you want to, the show's an educational experience as much as anything, and we try and strive to show people that. What you can do is narrow it down to two or three. Put a deposit down and then come paddle them at the shop before you make a final decision. That's totally cool.
I see. And it seems like there's, at Canucopia, there's not too many canoe paddles available. Synthetic, like whitewater paddles, there's a lot of wooden paddles and a lot of kayak paddles. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of choices there for whitewater paddles.
There's a few. Werner makes some. Werner. I always say Werner because the guy who started it's German. But Werner Paddles makes some nice synthetic paddles. I believe Winona has some. Actually, I paddle with a wood whitewater paddle one from Sawyer, one from Bending Branches. And the way they're made, I think they actually last as long as my synthetic paddles. They're pretty beefy. A lot of wood, a lot of fiberglass, a lot of, the rock guard or polycarbonate or polyethylene or not. Whatever, the resin around the edge of the paddle.
Right.
Yeah, they'll last a good long time, and they're a little bit lighter without spending, $250 on a carbon paddle.
Yeah, right. Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Helene in Madison, we are on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in getting some ideas of places that somebody of my age group, over 60, could physically do. I'm just wondering what he would recommend.
Another good question. Most of them are usually here, aren't they? It depends what you want to do. What kind of paddling, if you're camping, if you're, day paddling, or how far you want to travel. But, one thing I would recommend is there's a program at Rutabaga called Water Divas that we put together to basically get women together to get out on the water. And there's a lot of women who are in their 50s and 60s that attend because, let's face it, if you want to paddle with a bunch of women, it's kind of hard to go out and find women that are doing this right now. So we're trying to facilitate that. But there's lots of places around here to paddle. If you want to go with kind of a supported group, there's different trips that we put on over the summer, and we've taken people out and took a guy that was 82 one time, and it was great.
And you can go, right from your place.
Yeah, right
up
the back.
There's some really fun little jaunt that you can go up the river and through
Squaw Bay.
Squaw Bay, and that's just fun.
Yeah, the Capitol at dusk is pretty spectacular. You know? But yeah, there's lots of places to go. You just need to kind of define what you want to do.
So how would Helene go to your website for this diva business?
Yeah, it's learn.rutabaga.com.
Learnrutabaga.com. There you go.
Learn.rutabaga.com, yeah.
Learn.rutabaga.com.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions about canoes or kayaks or Canoocopia as we visit with Darren Bush. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Ruth in Ingham, it is your turn. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. I have trouble with my hands getting numb when I'm kayaking, paddling, and I was wondering if you had any suggestions to alleviate that.
I do. So you have, do you have any repetitive motion issues like carpal
yes.
tunnel? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of things you can do. One is there's paddles made now that are ergonomic that have a bend in the shaft that takes some of the bend out of your wrist when you're paddling. And I find that does make a big difference. The other thing is the lighter the paddle, the less you're going to have, you know, wear on your hands. Do you wear like a wrist guard or something like that to, you know, give it some support too?
I do sometimes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of a lighter paddle, an ergonomic paddle and those, you're probably going to get a lot more time on the water without getting numb. Yeah.
All right.
I've got a similar problem. I've got one of my hands. In fact, 6 years ago, yesterday, I almost cut four fingers off with a table saw. And so I got a hand that gets kind of cold and numb too, but we work around it.
Yep. There you go.
Thanks for your suggestions.
Yep. Sure. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And all of our tickets are gone. Well, that one flew right by. There you go.
Okay. The next person who asks a really good question gets another pair.
Okay. All right, Judith, did you hear that? Stay listening. Let's go to Jens in Madison next. Let's see there. Hi, Jens.
Hi. I was calling because I have a Old Town Penobscot canoe. I believe it's made out of Royalex.
That's correct.
I took it on a river last summer, and it got pretty beat up.
Sure.
And, you know, it took off some of the red, like Royalex, I guess, on the bottom of the canoe. Is there a good way to be patching those up?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, if it's just, is it the whole bottom or just mostly in the bow and stern where it's kind of scratched up?
It's mostly the bow and stern.
Okay. That's actually a really pretty easy fix. You can put on what's called a skid plate. And what that is it's a Kevlar felt that is impregnated with resin. And you put it over the bow that gets, you know, the place that gets the most wear. And that'll pretty much take care of it for the rest of the life of the canoe. They're great.
Okay.
And you can put them on yourself if you want to, or, you can bring them in. Generally, it's not that hard. You just catalyze the resin, you pour it on the felt, you saturate it, and you just kind of place it over the part that is worn out.
Hmm. Well, that's sounds pretty easy.
It's pretty easy, yeah. There's a couple tricks to doing it that make it work a little better.
Okay.
Yeah, mine you can lick and they don't even splinter your tongue because I got a couple tricks I use. But yeah, they're really good and they'll get you another 20 years out of your boat.
Or you guys put those on.
Or we can put them on too, yeah.
Okay. There you go. Thanks, gents, for calling. Appreciate your call. Tracy in Fitchburg, on to you now. Hi, Tracy.
Hi there. I just wanted to also mention Water Divas, that my mother just began kayaking last summer and instantly just bought all the gear and got into it through Water Divas. And she's 63 and she's never looked better. So I wanted to mention that. I wanted to say I've gone twice now. And, you know, it's interesting. So many things are associated with bad habits here in Wisconsin with sports you might do. And I find that the things I've done have been either family functions or a dear friend actually joining an AA meeting. I was wondering if you knew of any unique functions or cool things that you've seen people do while kayaking that just would make me laugh or of interest.
Oh my gosh. I'm responsible for half of them, probably. I mean, I make three mistakes every day before breakfast. There's a lot of things you can do. I mean, the idea behind this is fun. And there's a couple people speaking at Cornucopia. It's Leon Sommet and Shauna Franklin, and they own a shop out in Puget Sound. And when you ask them what's the most important thing people should learn from this lesson that you're giving them, they say, have a good time.
Yeah.
And it's really true. I mean, people fish out of kayaks. People goof off. I mean, we play a lot. And one of the best ways to learn is to play. And one of the things we'll do is have two people in two kayaks next to each other, and then see how quickly you can get from one kayak to the other and swap places, which is logistically difficult and requires communication and usually getting wet. But you learn a lot about balance. You learn a lot about cooperation, about getting in and out. And when you get in a boat after that, it's like, oh, this is really solid and stable. Right? So there's all sorts of tricks you can do.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, it's fun.
All right. There you go, Tracy. Thanks for calling. We have an email from John in Tomahawk who says, I hate to give away my secrets, but the Spirit River flowage in Lincoln County, 1,500 acres of good summertime fishing, lots of coves and creeks to explore, and outstanding local waterside eateries.
That is not one I've heard of before. And 1,500 acres, that's a little bit bigger than Winger, right? It's a little gem.
I
love those kinds of places.
Spirit River flowage. Well, that's one to keep in mind. We've got an email from Cynthia. It's not in Wisconsin, just over the state line, but perhaps the caller is speaking of the Sylvania.
Yeah, up
wilderness.
In the UP. Yeah.
Yeah, the Sylvania Track is another great place.
It's a little mini Boundary Waters, and it's a beautiful spot, sure.
And James and O'Connell, does anyone in Wisconsin or elsewhere still manufacture wood and canvas canoes?
Absolutely. Old Town still makes them, but that's not a big part of their business. There's a lot of small builders that are really, really talented all over the United States. One of my favorites is a man named Jerry Stelmach out in Island Falls, Maine, who makes old E.M. White canoes, which are 100-year-old designs. I think they're some of the prettiest shapes in nature. I mean, they're like Brancusi sculptures. They're fantastic. Not inexpensive, but, you know, you get what you pay for. And there's people in Wisconsin. I would recommend you come to the show. There's a booth there, the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association. It's a volunteer organization geared toward preserving wood canvas canoe construction and repair. And they've got boats there, and they'll talk to you about it and give you some hints.
And we should go through the specifics about the event itself here, as long as we're just talking about that.
Yeah, it starts Friday, 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
This Friday,
yep. And then Saturday, 9 to 6, and Sunday, 10 to 5. Mm-hmm. If you go to cornucopia.com, you can see all the speakers, and there's biographies and schedules. So you can, you know, pretty much schedule everything in advance.
Yeah, and you can also find directions on how to get there if you're, I mean, this last person, Cindy's from Green Bay, so it's easy to find.
It's a Lyant Energy Center. It's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah. So very good. And we'll talk some more about Cornucopia.
Sure.
Let's go to Jessica in Dubuque, Iowa next. Hi, Jessica.
Hello. I used to be an assistant guide for a Christian adventure ministry, and we did a lot of kayaking stuff, and so I kind of fell in love with it there. I wanted to thank you, your guest, for Cornucopia and for all the work he's doing, because it's hard to move the boats around and stuff. But I used to be the demonstrator for the wet exit, and that was probably one of the funnest things to purposefully tip, you know, over and demonstrate the safe return above water. And I have a suggestion for one of your callers who called a few callers back about the carpal tunnel.
Yeah.
I'm also a massage therapist by profession. And if she would take her opposite hand and make a fist, and like put her knuckles up against the carpal area and do some cross fiber friction, which is not
we're both doing
fingers.
This right now.
Yeah, exactly, and it works very, very good. It helps because I've had some repetitive use injuries. So, you know, I firsthand know that it's a good way to, you kind of rub it from the side of the wrist to the opposite side. And so that works pretty good.
You should see this. This is hilarious.
Yeah, we should have this on video. Oh,
this is great.
Yeah, it works good. What do you think?
It's awesome. Great.
Thanks, Jessica.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call and the suggestion, the tip. It's a good one. Talking today with Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist with Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, talking about canoes and kayaks and also about Canoe-copia coming up this weekend. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking canoeing and kayaking with Darren Bush of Rutabaga of Madison. Cindy in Green Bay says, my husband and I have a house on the Menominee River. We'd like to buy kayaks. We're able-bodied beginners. What type of kayak or maybe kayaks would you recommend?
Yeah, that's a trick question. There's so many choices. To make that recommendation, I have to know a lot more information. You can feel free to email me with more information or just call me at work. It's 608-819-0059.
Wait a minute, 608?
819-0059. That's my direct line. But yeah, it's kind of like asking what kind of car should I buy without knowing where you're going, how you're driving, what you're carrying, you know, all that stuff. How big are you? What kind of, is it a part of the water that the Menominee is moving a little faster? You know, that kind of stuff. But
and you sometimes recommend two as opposed to one.
Pretty much always. I think I've said this before here. If people should paddle tandem kayaks, they should have king-size beds that are 3 feet wide and 20 feet long. You know, we're supposed to be next to each other, and it's a much more pleasant experience when you're paddling next to somebody rather than in front or in back.
Yeah. And Terry emailed in to say, don't forget the upper St. Croix River for some great river camping. Lots of river campsites throughout. And that's
I should have mentioned that with the Namakagan. I kind of look at the Namakagan and St. Croix as the same river system. But yeah, that's a good point, Terry.
Kim in Burlington, on to you now. Hi, Kim.
Hi there. We've been to Canoe-copia many times, and it always inspires us to do the next bigger, better trip, which is great. However, this inspired us to go whitewater canoeing, and we don't have these skills yet. We've done a lot of flat water all over the area, like Wabakimi, Boundary Waters, Quetico, and now we need to get those whitewater paddling skills. So I was wondering if you have a recommendation on whitewater rivers to paddle, but also whitewater lessons that are affordable and that are good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question. I missed where you're located. I forgot.
Burlington.
Oh, that's close. Okay. There's lots of different recommendations. One is we have a moving water class at Rutabaga. We don't do white water because you really can't learn a lot in white water, jumping from flat to white. The best transition, in my opinion, is to go to a moving water that isn't really, you know, white, just moving quickly. That allows you to get a gauge on how to maneuver your boat, how to ferry the boat, how to, you know, peel out of an eddy and all those other things without a high risk. And you can do it all in a small space. And we teach those up at the Wisconsin, the dam up at Sauk City. And that works great because there's a big eddy next to it. So you do your little thing and then you flip around in the eddy and you talk about it and you do it again. And that's in my opinion, that's how I teach, is I go to a place that has current but not white water and then help them learn how the water impacts the boat.
That makes good sense. Yeah, that makes very good sense. Thanks, Kim, for calling. Appreciate it. So they get in touch with you?
They can. I mean, there's other options as well in the state. There's a really fine whitewater school up north, Bear Paw Outfitters, but it's, you know, 4 hours and change. Great people.
Bear Paw Outfitters. Yeah. Rich in Waupaca, we're on to you now. Hi, Rich.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last summer, my son and I had our kayaks up at Isle Royale. Mm-hmm. And after we got away from the maddening crowd, so to speak, and out over on the northeast side, we noticed that we were the only two guys with plastic kayaks. We have perception eclipses. We've had them for about 5 years. And I'm wondering, what are we missing by not having a fiberglass kayak or some product similar?
It's a really, really interesting question because hydrodynamically, they're not that different. what you'll find is the shapes and the refinement of the designs in composite boats, fiberglass and carbon Kevlar and such, they're just a little bit more refined. Plastic, you know, polyethylene boats tend to be more geared towards, I'd say, beginners to intermediates. And it's not so much about skill level as a boat with a little bit more design sophistication or nuance can allow you to learn things a little bit easier. You know, I've paddled both, and, you know, one of my favorite boats ever was a polyethylene kayak. Now I have a carbon fiber boat that is, you'll never get it out of my hands. it's just perfect. It is such a sweet boat. So it's a P&H.
Handling kind of a thing.
I'm sorry?
It's just more of a handling. They handle a little easier.
It's kind of like the difference between a Miata and a Porsche, you know? They kind of both do similar things, but there's just a tuning available with a higher end product that just gives you a little bit better experience. But you know, if you're just paddling up there once a year, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you just enjoy it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, Rich, for calling. Appreciate it. And Felicia in Maquantico, on to you now. Hi, Felicia.
Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious about sea kayaking. I've never done it. I mean, I've done a tiny bit. I've done some canoeing, but I've had this fantasy of kayaking out to Madeline Island and around the Apostle Islands. And my question is, do people do that? And also, do your water divas do any sea kayaking?
Two great questions. People do paddle a lot. In the Apostle Islands. It's one of the best freshwater sea kayak destinations. Lake Superior, the whole lake, is one of the best freshwater sea kayak destinations in the country. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic place to paddle. There are many groups up there. There's a couple outfitters. A couple of them will be at Canucopia. I would talk to a group called Living Adventure, and that's Gail Green and Grant Herman. They've been guiding there for, geez, over 20 years. And a guided trip is suggested for your first time out. The water's cold, and the weather is somewhat unpredictable. And a guide will just make you feel a lot more comfortable. But it's a wonderful place to paddle. As far as Water Divas doing sea kayaking, we do paddle sea kayaks from the shop on some of the evening paddles. We have a Water Diva paddle that runs, I believe it's every week during the summer. And you can, you know, try a sea kayak there. But as far as traveling, we haven't got to that point yet. I think we probably will at some point.
There you go.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Felicia. Rusty in Springstead, on to you now. Hi, Rusty.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, I got a couple of questions for you. I've got a carbon fiber Savage River canoe called the Blackhawk. And I've had it for like 10 years now. And what happened is all the resin has dissipated, and it's down to the cloth. And I really, you know, I can't send the boat back. I don't have that kind of money. But I'm wondering on what I should do there. I've had a few people tell me I could put epoxy paint on it. Just wondering your views on that. Also, my other question is, back in the late 80s and through the mid-90s, when Rutabaga used to be on Park Street in Madison, the old manager, John, I don't know what his last name was, I forgot, but one of his number one selling boats was Sawyer.
Yes.
And I believe Rutabaga got out of it when they went out of business, but there is a new guy who bought the molds from the company 3 years ago, and he is building those boats again. And of any canoe that I've ever tried out, especially the solo boats like the Summer Song and Shockwave, to me there's still no other boat like it. Is there any chance of you guys ever bringing those back in?
You know, I don't know. Sawyer's been bought and sold two or three times since it went out of business in the 80s, and I've never seen, personally, I don't have much experience with the new company. We've talked a couple times. They're great folks. The designs are a little bit dated. You can call it dated, you can call it classic. Dave Yost designed the Summer Song, which was actually the first solo canoe that I ever bought. I love that boat. It moved over into the Curtis Nomad, and now it's the Bell Merlin 2. It's just been refined a little bit, but they're wonderful boats. The Sawyer Cruiser's, you know, one of my favorites of all time. But yeah, they're great. You know, who knows? you know, who knows, who knows what the future holds, but I certainly have a lot of respect for them for, you know, bringing back a great company.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Rusty. We have open lines, by the way. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org. Let's turn to Ken and Monona next. Ken, hello.
Hello. Just calling. I make a comment on the last caller about, the, you know, I love that canoe. I think people paddle a canoe and then they end up saying they really love that canoe. I think they love it because of where they've been with it and the people they've spent the time with. And that's fine. But I also want to make a comment on the wood and canvas canoe. If you want to build your own wood and canvas canoe, you can go up to the North House in Grand Marais. They've got classes in building the wood and canvas canoes. And then if you want to do the Cedar Strip canoes, you can go over to Kim over in Rock River in the Northwest Canoe in the Twin Cities. They all build those canoes. So mm-hmm. those were my comments. But I wanted to ask Darren a question. Darren, do you remember when the first canoe race was?
The first canoe race?
Yeah.
That's what's the punchline, Kenny?
The punchline is right after the second one was built.
Yeah, Ken knows a little bit about wood strip kayaks or wood strip canoes. He's built one that they're gonna auction or silent auction off as a charity. So yeah, thanks for that, Ken.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Richard in Westcott says, will there be vendors at Canoocopia that handle inflatable life vests? We're interested in learning more about them and think they might be just the vest to wear with canoeing since they're lightweight and not bulky.
Yes, there are. There's a committee called MTI that makes really nice, a couple nice inflatables. One is a belt pack that I really like a lot. It sits basically like a belt. It's maybe 10 inches by 4 inches by 3 inches, mm-hmm. and it has a little pull tab on it with a CO2 cartridge in it. So if you go in the water and you're, you know, it's calm and there's no problem, you can just get back in your boat. If you go in and it's a little bit dicey, you can pull the ripcord and you'll get this giant inflatable vest to plop over your head and away you go.
Oh, so you like those?
Yeah, I actually use one for stand-up paddling because you have to have a PFD to paddle on the stand-up boards now. It's one of the requirements from the Coast Guard. But I don't want to wear a life jacket out in the middle of the summer on a surfboard.
Yeah. So. All right. So it works. Let's go to Kirk in Fenimore. Hi, Kirk.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. My question, looking at getting into a one-man canoe, looking at possibly maybe used and price ranges and what I'd be looking for.
That's another pretty broad question. What I'd say is this. It's the same thing. Find out what use you want. Find out which boats are going to fit the use. And then if you can find a used one, great. But if you start looking for a used one, you might end up getting something that's not going to work for what you want it to do. So what I encourage people is find the right style of boat and then go looking. My guess is you're going to paddle the Grant and the Platte and places like that, correct?
Yes, and also possibly with a load. I was kind of thinking of possibly hunting out of the canoe.
Oh, sure.
You know, gear and...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices. You're probably going to end up, depending on how much gear you take with you, is maybe a small tandem paddled solo, just so you get that stability. And there's plenty of choices in that arena as well.
Okay, as far as the price range of what to be looking for, where would I be?
You know, for a decent used solo canoe, I mean, I've paid $300 and I've paid $1,000 for a good used one. Generally, a used canoe isn't really inexpensive. You get a better canoe for the price. That's often how it works. So if you give me, again, you can call my office and we can chat about it, what kind of thing you want to do, and I can give you some recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you much.
Yeah. Thanks much for calling. And Dennis in Wausau, hello to you.
Yeah, hello.
What's on your mind?
Locations to where one can go look at used canoes. I used to travel over on to the eastern side of Illinois, just south of Chicago, and I think it was Kankakee or Kewanee or something like that. And there was a guy over there that years ago now that had a whole acre of used canoes. And I was wondering, is there any place in Wisconsin that you can go look at a bunch of used canoes?
A bunch? I don't know. We usually have, you know, between 6 and 12 used canoes in stock. You know, again, the best thing to do is figure out what you want to do and then start poking around. Paddling.net has a lot of boats on it that are used. The unfortunate thing is you can't look at them. You have to kind of go by the description in the pictures. But, you know, and look in the back of Silent Sports magazine. That's another good place to look. The newspaper, I don't see a lot in the newspaper that's worth looking at. It's usually old Grummins and, you know, things that have been beat up and stuck in the back of someone's house for 20 years and they finally want to offload it. So, but the places that are more specific to paddling generally have more of a selection.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. On to Rob in Iola. Let's go there. Hi, Rob.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Right now I'm actually in the process of building a wood strip kayak, and I was listening to your show. I was out in the shop right now, and I wanted to come in and ask you, I bought my plans from a kayak company, a guy that puts plans together. He's called Laughing Loon.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Maine.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of him, and what do you think of his designs?
I have heard of him, and they're very, very nice. And not only does he designs a nice boat, but he builds basically furniture that floats. They're beautiful boats. Yeah,
yeah. That's what I thought when I looked at him. And I was kind of green at trying to pick a design, but he's built like over 70 boats, and he's been doing it for 20, 30 years, and I just was impressed with his designs.
Yeah, which one did you pick?
The Georgian Bay.
Oh, fun.
It's 16 foot, 6 inch, and I wanted something that I could, you know, could fish out of and still go down rivers, but still go out on, like, Lake Superior and stuff if I wanted to.
Yeah. That might be his best boat as far as I'm concerned. I really like that boat a lot. It's
good to hear.
Yeah, it's a nicely done boat. Yeah.
I didn't want to find out that you wouldn't want to even float that in your bathtub or anything.
No. I mean, the worst case scenario when you build a wood strip kayak is you can cut it in thirds and make two lamps.
You know. As much work as I'm putting into this, I don't think I want to.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to do that. I've made lamps out of old kayaks before. It's kind of fun.
I'm having a great time with it. But one last question: where is a good source for wood? I mean, I bet I made 30 phone calls before I found some full length cedar pieces. I still have to splice, but he recommended white cedar. But it's just a really a tough time finding quality wood, and I made at least 30 phone calls. Do you have any good areas or places to look?
Yeah, there's, I mean, you're talking about a really big problem. Finding clear cedar of any length is getting more and more difficult and more expensive. But, I mean, I've had decent luck picking through the wood at, like, McCormick Lumber here in Madison.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got some nice stuff. They got some Sitka. I bought some Sitka to do some paddles. But yeah, it's tough. There's a company, and of course the name is completely escaping me, that makes cedar strips that are already beaded and coved so you can glue them together simply. And I'm going to remember this as soon as I hang up. So pop me an email and I'll remember it, and I'll get back to you.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so just go to Rutabaga.
Or you can just go to my email. It's just darrenb@rutabaga.com.
DarrenB@rutabaga.com. There you go, Rob. Thank you very much for calling. And for paddle folks, so this is from Kevin. For paddle folks traveling up north this spring and summer, we urge you to visit and support the new Wisconsin Canoe Heritage Museum, which opened in Spooner, Wisconsin last year. It features a wonderful collection of handmade boats, North American canoe history, and opportunities to watch and learn, and building a cedar strip canoe.
Yeah, actually, they're going to be at Canucopia.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, the museum. I actually haven't been there yet, but I'm aware of it, and I've been told by people who have passed through there that it has a wonderful collection of boats. So, yeah, it's in Spooner. It's not like it's hard to get to.
No. Tell us a little more about Canucopia. Now, what are some of, I mean, obviously, it is an amazing place. I visited many times. But there's so much to see. Talk about what people will see.
Yeah, well, it's I always say it's kind of a three, it's a three ring circus. Okay. First we have the educational component, which is the speakers and all that. And we have 160 something presentations over the 2.5 days, about 55 or 60 presenters. And I think there's about 90 topics that are covered. So the educational component is really important to me. Yeah. You know, that's something that I'll take credit for developing over the past, you know, 10, 15 years. And then there's the sale. You know, mm-hmm. and you know, it's great prices, great gear, you know, all that, and that's wonderful, and it's a big selection. But the third thing is a charitable component. Rutabaga is pretty committed to giving back to the community that has given so much to us. So we support two charities. One is Big City Mountaineers, which is a company, a nonprofit out of Golden, Colorado, that gets kids from the inner city out into the wilderness to give them a new perspective. And inner city kids who have never been outside their zip code are going up to the Boundary Waters. And the largest Boundary Waters, or the largest BCM base, is now the Boundary Waters. They did 22 trips last year. And Jeff, my former business partner, is actually the chair of the board now.
Ah,
so they're going to have the kids there, so you can meet some of the kids that have been up there. And the other charity is Inner City Outings, which is a branch of the Sierra Club. And they basically do the same kind of thing, not overnight long trips, but just getting kids out of the community centers and off into the parks where they can enjoy nature. We are having a fundraiser on Saturday night at the High Noon Saloon. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little band there. We're going to show some films, and the BCM kids are going to be there too. And it's actually a local band, Mad Polecats. And yeah, rockabilly with a little bit of banjo and some other weird stuff. They're just really cool people. And it's $10 cover. Proceeds go half and half to BCM and Inner City Outings. So even if you're not coming to the show, you can come to the fundraiser.
And that's all up on your site, I assume.
Yeah, canoecopia.com. Everything's up there. It really is a labor of love. We really, really enjoy putting it on. And like I said, I got the best staff in the world.
And it's, do the times again.
4 to 9 Friday, 9 to 6 Saturday, and 10 to 5 Sunday.
All right. Tell you what, Darren, it's great to have you with us. It's always fun.
I love being here. It's just a good time.
Somebody, Rick in North Freedom, recommended Lake Superior kayaking as well.
You know, it's one of my favorite places in the world. It's just so gorgeous, and the sea caves, and the water is so clear. You know, the shipwrecks and the history are really neat. Look, any time you spend in a boat is time well spent. You know, I've paddled all over the world, literally, and my favorite place to paddle is still Lake Wingra.
So it's
a mile from my house.
A mile from the house, and it's a beautiful little lake.
It's a beautiful lake, right. Especially on moonlit nights when the water's like glass. It's just, it's magic, man, I'm telling you.
Always a pleasure, Darren.
Thank you.
Good luck with Rutabaga, with the Canoecopia this weekend. Although I don't think there's much luck involved. There's a lot of skill involved.
No, there's luck if the weather.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, 40. I think it's 45 degrees is the forecast. So we're going to be great.
Okay. Have fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Darren Bush, as we like to call him, the chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our guest today. We're going to continue talking about canoeing and turn our attention to the Boundary Waters as we visit with Jerry Apps. He's got a new book out. I just finished reading it. I had a lot of fun reading it. It's called Campfires and Loon Calls, Travels in the Boundary Waters. So we'll be visiting with Jerry Apps coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.